If we play
anything, true.
We don't play anything unnerving. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-7... The hell is our number? 733.
What is with you on the phone number today?
I don't know. First, I was trying to give out the 800 number. Then there was that time...
You're giving out Tom Likas's number?
Totally. At least I'm not doing that thing I did. What, a couple weeks ago, I was giving out my cell phone number on the air. 503-67... No. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Here's what's coming up later on. Tim Roddy will rejoin us from the Ministry of Truth. We will roll out the Dead Parade for 2006. We really, you know, today, we were going to have Jim Roop later on, but I don't think he's going to be able to, I don't think he's going to be joining us. I think he is ill. But we will have more for the Ministry of Truth. We have Likas at 3, Dynamike at 7, etc. Now, I have to tell you this. Have you been listening to the Rick Emerson program for the last few weeks? Now, we said we bid a fond adieu to Gary Baumgarten, who was the New York correspondent.
New York.
For CNN Radio.
Yeah, you're
News.
Giving a real good impression right now.
I'm glad that Brian could be on hold to hear this stunning introduction I'm giving him. So Gary Baumgarten, he left to pursue other endeavors, in which we wish him well, and other opportunities and so forth. And for a while, it just didn't look like they were going to have anybody covering anything from New York City. And then a couple of days ago, there's names started popping up in the list of Brian Blank. And at first, I thought it was like they didn't know who he was, or it was some sort of a gag or whatever. But and I know I'm not going to make any jokes when we get him on the air, because you go through... Your name, Brian Blank, you've already, by the time you hit third grade, you've already heard every possible humorous comment that could be made about your surname. You know, but you never even hear those again. But the mysterious thing is, we were trying to get him on, and like CNN, they were talk blocking us. They wouldn't let us talk to him. We said, well, can we get Brian Blank? No. Well, he's listed.
You make it sound like they're being rude. They are not.
What was their explanation?
Because Brian wasn't talking to affiliates yet.
So this prep sheet was sort
or
of
like
a...
We don't get a special release. I mean, they send all this, you know, CNN has this bulk thing that they send out to everybody. So just because, you know, he is available in some markets, but not he wasn't in ours.
I'm just saying, so they were sort of a journalistic training bra they were giving us here. You know, it was basically just so we could see what it was going to be like someday when we were able to speak to Brian Blank. And ladies and gentlemen, that day... is today. Do we have any music? Do we have on welcoming music for Brian Blank? We don't have it. We'll have to see if he gets his own theme at some point. Let's now welcome, thank you, to the Rick Emerson Radio program for the first time anywhere on the station in Portland. From New York, Brian Blank. Hello, sir.
Oh, guys, that is amazing and totally... totally uncalled for, but thank you very much.
No, sir, it's the least we can do. You don't
Brian
understand.
Blank, you sound nice.
Brian Blank, you sound nice, you sound chipper, you sound positively full of vim, vigor, and enthusiasm for this job.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, you guys sound great today, too. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Now, let me ask you this. A couple of things. A, now, have you been with CNN for some time? Are you newly assigned to CNN? Have you been with CNN but not in this capacity? What's your story, man? What are you all about?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've been at CNN for a couple of years now, but I'm just I'm new to the whole CNN radio thing. So that's probably why, you know, it's taken a little bit of time before, you know, they're letting me release. I'm just a fill-in guy. I'm not the, you know, the full-time guy.
Now, don't fill yourself full of negative affirmations, Brian. One never knows what the future holds.
Exactly. You know, it's a crazy world out there.
The world is your oyster. Your only limits are those of imagination, Brian Blank.
You got on well with Gary.
Gary was great. Let me tell you this about Gary.
I love Gary.
The great thing about Gary Baumgarten was he had this sort of thing, and I don't wish to stereotype, because we all know that stereotypes and rash generalizations are bad and lead to the further decay of the social fabric. That being said, he was a lot like a lot of other people from New York in that there was this sort of almost a British thing, like a brittle surface politeness under which was a seething cauldron of unholy rage. And it, at any moment, and usually involving stories that dealt with the internet or any kind of technology, MySpace, you merely had to say the two syllables MySpace to him, and you would be on the receiving end of like a good 13, 14 minute white hot supernova of a rant, which is great. So
eruption, huh?
It really is true. Now, have you spoken with other affiliates in the past few days? Are they easing you into it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just a couple. There was an affiliate out in California and one in Texas.
Oh, I see. So you were able to speak to people on the West Coast.
Yeah, it is. It is something of a training bra. I think you're close to that.
Well, and he was also on in the morning, Rick. And we, as you know, are a midday show.
I'm not being accusatory. I'm simply trying to
yes,
find.
Yes, you are.
I'm simply trying to find the lay of the land. And
he's fought really hard for you, Brian. He's very excited you're here.
I'm excited to be talking to you guys. This is a lot of fun.
For
Portland
days,
must be the place to be right now.
It is. Portland is the epicenter of all things.
You want to hike and dive?
Really? That's true. If you want to come here and have your frozen body hauled out of a mountain next April, I suppose this is really the only place on earth for you, Brian. So if that's on your to-do list, you've found a new home. Let me add real quickly before we get to the actual news here. So when they were telling you that we wanted to have you on the program today, when I think it was Richard you were talking to or anybody else, did they give you any special observations / warnings / words of wisdom about this radio program?
Well, they said we might get slightly off topic.
we're
ready for that. Gary said that he really enjoyed working with you too. So apparently you're a fun folk to talk to.
How would you rate the experience so far on the classic 1 to 10 scale?
This has been pretty. I'll go with a pretty solid 8.
Now, is that on a curve or is that on an objective ranking?
I would say that's on a curve.
Okay. Do you anticipate being at this job more in the future? You say you're a part-timer, but now, to the best of your knowledge, Brian Blank from CNN, is that until they find a guy who is holding it down for New York all the time? In other words, what are the odds that, a month from now, we'll still be speaking to you time and now again?
Well, maybe every now and then. Who knows? You know, I don't know exactly when they will get the full-time guy in here, but until then, I'll fill in whenever I don't have to do my other job, which would be kind of fun.
What is your other job?
Just working for the New York Bureau here in New York, the television side of things.
All right, excellent. All right.
Oh, are you on TV, Brian?
No, nothing like that. All behind the scenes.
No, you do sound like a very competent man, though. You sound capable in almost every way.
I'm going to look up a picture of him right now.
As I'm blushing, seriously.
Is your picture on the net?
No, nothing like that.
Are you sure? Because I think Jim Roop said that at one point, and we found it in like 10 seconds. So, Sarah Dillon is going to be Googling you if you feel a strange tingling sensation. That's what that is.
No, there's a lot of Brian Blanks out there, too. So good luck if you could find one.
I hate to be like the 5 billionth guy asking this question, but does that make it difficult for you when you're trying to, do you get like forms sent back to you and stuff? Like, no, seriously, we need your name.
Well, I'll tell you, the people that give me the hardest problems are Radio Shack. I'll go into Radio Shack and they'll be like, hey, you want to put your name in our database? And I'll, sure. You know, I'll be like, hey, my name's Brian Blank. And they'll be like, so you don't want to give us your life?
So
and I'll be like, no, it's Brian Blank. And they'll be like, I don't know what to do with that. We stare at each other for a while, and they're like, okay, we just won't do this part.
It's fantastic. Actually, you stare and just do that Homer Simpson blink, and then you just kind of move on.
Right, exactly.
Excellent. Well, let me, as Rush Limbaugh would say, let me ask you about this. Now, this is the best day for you to come on, by the way. You're covering this story. I'm just going to read this right off the prep sheet here. And we've been talking about this a little bit, but I don't know if there's anything new about this. So the court hearing is scheduled in the case of television networks, including Fox, NBC, and CBS versus, and by the way, this is versus with the less traditional and less correct VERSES spelling. CBS versus the Federal Communications Commission. The networks are maintaining the new tightened indecency rules are unconstitutional. So this is like a post-Janet Jackson's boob kind of a thing. And where the FCC, which is really just a... I don't want to say that they're completely cut off puritanical blue hairs, but really, just even an anecdotal reading of the evidence would indicate that that is the case. What is the claim being made by these networks, including CBS, and where is this court case at now?
Well, basically, this whole thing stems from three swear words that were uttered by Cher and Nicole Richie during the Billboard Music Awards, broadcast by Fox back in 2002 and 2003. Now, they swore on air, and it was live, and Fox didn't do anything about it, and so the FCC came in and said that those were indecent. So now Fox and CBS and NBC and really the major networks are going after the FCC and saying, hey, we don't know how to tell what is indecent or not because it seems like you guys are being inconsistent on this. So they basically went to court today and kind of hashed the whole thing out. The lawyers for both sides, they're basically talking about what is indecent, what isn't.
And I mean, there's really so little you can do about it, though, right? Because, I mean, there was the famous Pacifica case and, you know, the 730 words case and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, this is really one of the FCC effectively answers to no one. It would take a presidential administration really going in with a big broom and just cleaning house to affect any real change in that, wouldn't it?
Well, unless the courts decide that really they have to kind of define this and make this easier for broadcasters. Because, you know, one of the issues that even came up today, which was kind of funny, was that during the broadcast, one of the judges is like, hey, this is going out on C-SPAN. Are you guys going to, because they were swearing during the court, are you guys going to have to, you know, crack down on C-SPAN right. for airing this live? And they basically said, hey, you know what? C-SPAN and any other news organization, that's news, and we're not going to try and police that whole thing. So basically, you had all these swear words flying out over the air, but it was over C-SPAN, and, you know, that was allowed, apparently, was a surprise to a lot of broadcasters who didn't know they could do that.
You know, the best thing is, by the way, I got to tell you, this is not so long ago that there was, I had to take some online certification or some quiz or whatever to say that I, as a programming managing department head guy, that I know that you're not supposed to say the F word or whatever. So I'm going through and taking this, like, official CNN certification course. And the irony of it is, it's just, like, filled with profanity. This online course is just, you know, it was like a multiple choice. Like, you know, your zany morning host opens the microphone and says the following phrase. And then it's like the most unbelievably profane, offensive thing you could possibly imagine. You know, do you A, give him a raise, B, fire him, C, you know, take him out back and bludgeon him with a heavy object. So you're right, there really is no way people talk about this without being profane. As a final, just as a side note here, I want to ask you this. We've been talking about Tara Conner because it allows me to make a lot of bad Terminator puns. And she is the, is she going to rehab? What is it, drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it both? Do we know?
Well, what she says is that she's going to rehab for alcohol. Now, she says she's not an alcoholic, and Donald Trump says she's not an alcoholic, and that she's just, quote, confused about alcohol. So,
she's confused.
Thing to do.
What is like she's not sure whether she likes bourbon or whiskey or I mean she doesn't say, well, I don't know, should I go with red wine or should I go with vodka?
Yeah, exactly. So she'll be in some form of a rehab or another for an indefinite amount of time, but when she emerges, according to Donald Trump, she'll be an even better Miss USA than she was before.
When she emerges. So she's really just sort of a pupae stage Miss USA right now.
That's what she's. Well, I don't know how to answer that. Really, yes.
You can use that line. You don't have to give me credit for it. You can use that joke, the pupae stage.
Thanks. I love that, actually.
You can use that in future.
Brian Blank, do you own a yellow shirt that says Sasquatch on it?
I do not. No.
Have you found is it possible that there's another man named Brian Blank?
Who works at CNN?
There is not.
Is there a photo of you posing next to a ceramic penis?
Not a ceramic penis, no.
Oh, so it is him. Do you have stubble?
Would you like to revise your earlier statement about the yellow shirt?
Yes, I do not have any yellow shirt that says Sasquatch.
Did you at some point in your life own a yellow shirt that had Sasquatch on it?
No, I'm pretty sure that picture that you found was a friend of mine visiting me here at CNN. Which, by the way, I just have to say, that giant statue isn't something profane for everyone listening.
No, it's...
The Time Warner Center in New York, there are two giant statues in the middle of this kind of mall area.
Yes.
And one is a giant naked man. The other is a giant naked woman. So the thing to do, apparently, when you come to the Time Warner Center, is to have your picture taken with this. So you see it all the time. It's actually pretty funny.
Brian Blank, do you have a shaved head?
I do have a shape.
All right, I found you.
Unbelievable. You are amazing.
Wait, hold on. Let me look at the photo.
Brian Blank's a good, an attractive man.
Hold on a second. Is that an earring?
No, I do not have an earring.
All right. You look like the outdoors type.
I do like hanging out outdoors and hiking and running and all that.
I would guess that you own a mountain bike.
I don't, but... You know what I did just do outdoors, which is kind of crazy? A 50-mile road race. Actually, it was in Alabama. It was a trail run, which was kind of fun.
Have you ever gone rock climbing?
I have not.
I'm off. See, I'm someone like 0 for 2 here.
No,
you totally look like that guy. All right, fantastic. All right, Brian Blank, I would say we give your first appearance on this program. I would say, Sarah, I mean, 0 to 10?
I'd give it an 8. He still needs to ease in a little bit because, like you would say, pithy anecdotes, and then I was waiting for him to respond. But I don't think, Brian, you feel free to say anything you want at any time.
The comedy timing really is the hardest thing for anybody to get down, especially in this radio program where there is no eye contact between the two of us. It's simply being done orally.
I know, it's kind of sad. We should actually hook up some sort of monitors like that. And for everyone who's listening in right now, maybe they can watch it on the web.
Fantastic. Brian, will we be speaking with you later on in the week, do you think?
You know, I hope so. That'd be a lot of fun.
All right, Brian Blank.
That's great. Thank you so much, Rick.
For your inaugural appearance on the Rick Emerson Show, we thank you. And by the way, thank Richard as well for helping to make this happen.
Got it. Hey, was that 8 on a curve or?
What? I would say, now I'm saying, objectively speaking, I'm saying 7.5.
And that just made it a 9 for the callback.
But but on a curve, I would rank you slightly higher because I know that our radio program is not like others that you. Let me ask you this. Have you talked to other people today?
I have talked to some other people today.
I don't mean to sound like a jealous spouse, but I'm just curious. I'm just saying, I'm always curious as to whether the other guys that you, the other shows that you guys have to talk to, if they're just incredibly tedious, because they would almost have to be.
Almost have to be, you mean compared to this show?
I mean just in general, but especially compared to this show.
I've talked to some great people, and I've talked to, some maybe not as bombastic people.
See, that is professionalism right there. That's what we'll beat that right out of you. But thank you. That's a fantastic diplomatic answer, sir. Brian right. Blank from CNN New York. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, I look forward to talking to you again.
As well, back at you. All right, there you go. That's Brian Blank, CNN radio correspondent from New York City. That guy was not bad.
We should post a picture of him on your website because, ladies, he's good looking.
Is he?
He's
not an unattractive man.
He's a very pretty man.
He's pretty? Would you say he's more pretty or more good-looking?
I would say he's prettier than he is good-looking.
Now, can you be bald and be pretty?
Well, because my first thing was I thought he was gay. I think he might, and after looking at the picture, I don't know. Just getting a little bit of a vibe. He's really pretty.
Not that could be judged or surmised by his outward appearance or vocal inflection.
Yeah, just because he's a waiter in a Chinese restaurant.
I can't talk. I can't. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
This isn't Brian. This is Tom.
Well, whatever. Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Fantastic. Anyway, Brian Blank, out of the box, is 1,000% better than Bob Costantini.
And look, why does someone have to lose for someone else to win, Tom?
Doesn't need that. It's just Bob. You don't recognize Bob Costantini is a closet Reagan Republican from the get-go. Anything that you say is going to set him on edge, and he's not on with the program.
See, I don't think that's true. I don't think Bob Costantini is, not that it matters, but I mean, I have many friends who are conservative. I've had conservatives in my home. I wouldn't want my sister to marry one. I don't think so. You know who is that? You know, Gary Baumgarten, though. Gary Baumgarten is a guy who's pretty conservative. You scratch that surface, you find the guy who's very right-wing underneath there.
But so, I can't beat that horse anymore.
No, I'm sick. No, Brian was not bad. He wasn't bad at all. So, all right, thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
All right, there you go. Yeah. He does look stylish, Brian Blank.
He does. And you can tell that he's wearing, like, a satchel thing. I bet he's carrying around a laptop.
He looks like a man who appreciates art. Perhaps wine. Perhaps the finer things in life. It's hard to say whether he is a committed bachelor or not. These are all things I don't know.
Well, you know what I found researching him is that he has a lot of friends. A lot of people like my friend Brian Blank who works at CNN.
He is liked by many people.
He is.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. We'll do the Dead Parade for 2006. Don't go anywhere. We return after this. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Icicles fall. What do I care if I single swim. I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. Who needs an overcoat? I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire, and the flame grows high. So I will weather the storm. Why do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
More than 5,400 Pacific Power customers in the dark in the Lloyd District in parts of Irvington right now due to a power outage. Three feeder lines went down a little while ago.
Three what?
Feeder lines.
Oh.
Oh, you think of Kevin
Federline.
No, he's not even here. But the Lloyd Center Mall is not affected.
That's good. Woo! Thank God.
You go there and shop.
I'm actually going there after, so I was a little worried.
Buy 4 pounds of caramel corn.
Yeah.
You know, the thing they sell there is that caramel corn cheese corn mix, which is fantastic.
And make sure you yell obscenities at the top of your lungs just to fit in with the kids who are going through that mall.
And they get harassed by people trying to sell you cell phones at a kiosk.
Seriously. And then they got that thing, they got that weird sarcophagus thing at the Lloyd Center Mall where you get inside and they hose you with water for like 10 minutes and charge you $20 for it. You know what I'm talking about? You probably don't have that at malls where you live.
What's that?
The thing, it's like one of those cryogenic, what is that thing Michael Jackson sleeps in? The hyperbaric chamber?
A crib.
Michael Jackson as the Crib Keeper. No. Tales from the Crib. That's funny. The Lloyd Center Mall, they've got this thing. I've just got this picture of Michael Jackson swaddled in a whoobie. This is on his side in a tiny little crib suckling on his thumb.
Not what he's suckling on.
His dirty brown thumb. Dirt won't come off. At the Lloyd Center Mall, they have this thing you can get inside. It's like this weird plastic tank you can get inside. And then they spray you down with water. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
it's like
a water massage.
Yeah, I went to one of those in Vegas.
Yeah,
so you don't get wet. The water's inside.
It's like a tarp.
Yeah.
You get inside, and the top comes down with a tarp that covers you. And then a really powerful water jet spray. And I had it done once, like 5 years ago, because
one next to Quiznos in Vegas.
Because that's how you can tell its quality. I had walked by it like a million times. Finally, I'm like, okay, I got to try this thing. And I got inside, and it was painful. It hurt. You start to understand why they use fire hoses.
And there's something wrong with your bones. It's supposed to be painless.
You understand why fire hoses work so well at knocking down protesters. Because water hurts. And I got on, I was all bruised and whatnot. And there's no way. And you can't explain that. You can't. Well, why are you bruised? And there's no manly story behind it. It's like, well, I got inside this thing at Lloyd Center Mall and I paid $20 to be beaten with water. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the Hood River County, this is breaking news, the Hood River County Sheriff's Office have called out the search for two hikers missing. Sheriff Joseph Wampler said the mission is now considered a recovery effort.
Well, we've looked real hard. I'm pretty confident about what we've done. But now, you know, I'd like to think maybe there was another avenue, but we're still going back to having to look below the roots that where they were at.
Now I'm
going to
begin covering my own ass by talking about this and saying we did everything we could.
Well, Wampler said somebody might have seen a yellow jacket in the snow.
We had some reports from the Mount Hood Meadows side of the White River Canyon, maybe some color. And it kind of made sense that we'd want to really go check that out. We think that we were able to identify as rocks.
All right. The weather's getting bad near Mount Hood.
Things are moving in from the west, and it's actually snowing at Timberline and Mount Hood Meadows right now. And so that window...
We really prefer to be indoors.
Well, Christmas is coming. People should be...
Hey, that guy's got shopping. He's got to get to Lloyd Center as well.
Yeah. The Pentagon says, may we please have another $99.7 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? Sure, why not? That's their request. Meanwhile, Several people in the Pacific Northwest have gotten carbon monoxide poisoning. It's an epidemic here. People have died. Hundreds more sickened by carbon dioxide fumes from charcoal grills and portable generators.
I was about to ask, what, is everybody sleeping in their garage? Is everybody parking the Buick in the living room?
Apparently. This is from Ronan Factura. She's an internist, not a real doctor at the Cleveland Clinic. She's just getting started.
Where?
The Cleveland Clinic. It doesn't take long for carbon monoxide levels to climb dangerously high.
The symptoms of it can be easily missed. Something like headache, feeling real tired or fatigued, or flu-like symptoms. Carbon monoxide binds very easily and very strongly to hemoglobin in your blood. That's the same substance that delivers oxygen to the rest of your body. And it's very, very hard to get rid of.
The thing about this guy is he sounds like he might be the one lone competent employee at the Cleveland Clinic.
Well, we have another one.
It also sounds like he's the only one left at the office today. Maybe there's nobody else around.
No, that isn't true. Elizabeth Penniman is working at the Cleveland Clinic. She tells us there's lots of temptation at the buffet table this time of the year. It can be tough on the stomach. An estimated 50 million Americans suffer from chronic heartburn known as acid reflux disease. She says it's one of the worst times of the year for many people who have trouble with indigestion.
A lot of times when you're having a high fat, especially the pies, the pastries, and the baked goods, that tends to cause an upset stomach if you overindulge too much, and you can have reflux or heartburn.
Or heartburn. Okay. Rick, this email says, waiters in Chinese restaurants are dying of colorectal cancer. Pass it on.
Oh.
That's fantastic. The I don't know what waiters in Chinese restaurants are. I don't know. And you will note that I am not pursuing the obvious solution, which is just to open up the phones and ask the audience to complete that sentence, because God only knows what sort of doom lies down that road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simply saying that I don't really know the answer to that question, nor does Todd the Corpse, by the way. We have this email from Todd. Rick, let's see. I guess I get the it's about Chinese waiters. Rick, I guess I get where the stereotype plays in on the hairdressers or alcohol questions, but for the life of me, and Todd is a smart man, I can't figure out what the stereotype about Chinese waiters is supposed to be. Not that we want, and this is the important part, everyone, not that we want the show to traffic in racial stereotypes, but what's the stereotype answer there?
I think this might be some East Coast survey. And people there are different.
All people on the East Coast are different.
Yes.
And savages.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, screams for help near a Miami road.
Where?
Florida.
Bam.
Led to the discovery of a 55-year-old grandmother who drove a stolen moped into a deep storm drain and became trapped. Rachel Rodriguez decided to make a midnight run for cigarettes and borrowed a moped without permission. Rodriguez tried to make a turn and she drove into a storm drain and became wedged in the water-filled hole. The woman was rescued from the hole after neighbors heard her screams for help. She's a lucky woman because if she and the bike hadn't been stuck the way they were, there's a good chance that she would have drowned.
That's fantastic.
She has a fever. It's a fever in Miami. Unfortunately, she just waits till later. What is this? Oh. Okay, this is broken English from someone who hasn't learned the native language properly. Not that we're trafficking in stereotypes here.
It's probably. But
apparently, she's in stable condition. Never got her cigarettes. Here's a picture of her stuck in the storm drain.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
I love this country. How does this even happen?
But she needed cigarettes, and she stole a moped. After midnight.
And really, I swear to God, the subheadline here says. Daughter says mom has, quote, Miami moped fever. Does that sound like she's trying to get the mom excited for something? Who's got Miami moped fever? And then, like, Dennis Pitzenbarger would be there jumping up and down like an idiot. Has Miami moped? Well, I mean, honestly, who doesn't? I myself have a fever for the flavor of a Pringles. Screams for help near a Miami road led to the discovery of a grandmother who drove a moped deep into a storm drain and became trapped. Because she stole the moped to get cigarettes. If you don't know what the storm drain looks like, it is like one of those transporting tubes in Super Mario Brothers. The kind that are not left to right. The kind of tubes that are up and down. Where you jump into the tube and then you go down and then it transports you to the coin room. Imagine that, except there's a moped stuck halfway into it. That's fantastic. Drowning, that's a bad way to go, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. For a cigarette.
No. How's that cigarette taste now? Tastes like the sweet stench of death? Huh? Huh? There you go. That's in Miami.
Miami.
By the way, speaking of... No, I've blown that totally. Speaking of...
Miami.
Scotty's typing in the screen. Good job, Rick. Thank you. I love it when I get affirmations from Scotty. Speaking of Will Smith, am I missing something? No, because there's a little Will... Isn't that Will Smith?
Miami.
I believe that is the Fresh Prince himself.
Sure.
No one is speaking about this. Am I the only one to not understand why that new movie Happiness is being spelled with a Y? Happiness.
Oh, yeah. That
Happiness.
Is true.
It's the new Will Smith movie. Apparently it's found much purchase inside America's hearts.
I bet, there's a sequence where his son's writing a paper about how all he wants is happiness, and he misspells it.
That could be. With the Y backwards.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. No, and then there's a picture of, Mommy, Daddy, and me. And then there's, Mommy's... Or there is no picture. This is
Or an X through Mommy.
Mommy's behind bars. The picture of Mommy's new boyfriend. Because this is like the Rocky thing yesterday. That probably is what it is, where the kid has written an essay about, what do you want for Christmas? I just want happiness. And it's it's spelled Happy or something.
And no kid really feels that way.
No, the kids don't want that. Kids want the PS3. No children wants happiness. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, waiters in Chinese restaurants.
Yes.
It's too obvious. It's, they're Chinese.
Well, so you would think. And that was actually the first thing out of my mouth yesterday. The problem is they don't give you any answers. Who could we call to find out the answer to this? I wonder if we could call Leventhal Center and Lerman. No, because they're in Washington, D.C. They've already gone home. I was wondering if we could call the law firm that has created this book.
No, it's a little before 5. They might still be there.
Maybe. We should call. Can I help you? Yes, I need to know what all waiters in Chinese restaurants are. Stat. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's do a Darwin watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Yeah. Don't!
Dateline, Springtown, Texas. One teenager killed, another injured today when a crude oil storage tank exploded as the pair used a lit match to try to look inside. Parker County Fire Marshal Sean Scott said the two were exploring around the pair of tanks when the explosion occurred after the lid was raised and the lit match ignited vapors in the tank.
That's fantastic.
The resulting fire spread to about 4 acres at a second tank.
Now, and here's the thing. In my head, because I see all of this stuff, these all play out as film scenes. In my head, as they're looking inside, what is that, a huge oil tank?
Yes.
As they're trying to look inside the oil tank, and they can't because it's dark, in my head, they've got a match, and they have to strike it several times before it lights. And then it immediately does a pullback to a look from a block away, where it's just like a...
Fire in the tanks was fed by gas flowing into the tanks. The crews are working to shut off the gas, but the fire expected to burn through the night.
Fantastic.
Parker County Judge Mark Riley set a shelter in place. Another story just like this. Set a shelter in place call went out to residents in about a 2-mile area around the tanks.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
All right.
The warning was lifted a few hours later. And Kana officials report the tank that exploded held 4,000 to 5,000 gallons of crude oil. The tank that caught fire after the initial explosion did not have much oil in it.
Fantastic.
Thank goodness.
All right, there you go. There's your Darwin watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Don't. Another one bites the dust. Don't. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hell. Rick, waiters in Chinese restaurants cannot sing Deck the Halls properly. And then it is spelled out phonetically to display the fact. He's really just typed fra ra 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 over and over and over again.
Is that from Scotty?
No, it's not. Scotty J?
Yeah.
No, it's from Aaron. Aaron. Let's see. All Chinese waiters are Asian. No, no, that's clearly not it. And so forth. Let's see. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. Here's Tim Riley.
Madonna's marriage to Guy Ritchie is under enormous strain over plans to adopt another child. John Ritchie, the father of film producer Guy, said that in the week of his son's 6th wedding anniversary, his marriage is under pressure over the issue. Madonna recently confirmed to a French magazine she wanted to adopt a second child, a girl, also from Malawi. But John Ritchie said they've had a difficult time. David is beautiful, and Guy's very good to him. But I don't think they want to adopt again. Well, at least he doesn't. They're both under an unbelievable amount of pressure because of all the press surrounding David's adoption. It is called tension and is deeply upsetting.
Yeah, seriously, and I mean, this is one of those, well, if one kid is fun, 15 kids will be 15 times as much fun.
Friends close to the couple have said Ritchie would only consider adopting another child once David is fully settled into their lives, but Madonna apparently doesn't share his cautious concern. Madonna wants to get things moving. If she makes up her mind about something, wild horses couldn't stop her.
All right. Justin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
What's up?
You know, I'm thinking, in all my experiences, if you're a waiter at a Chinese restaurant and you're not Chinese, you must be gay.
Okay, and a good dancer.
And a good dancer.
All right.
And a good table dancer. And hopefully he keeps his hands off of your noodle. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand.
You don't understand the noodle? Oh, you ever go out to T.F. Chang's?
And we have to go now. Thank you.
I've eaten there on numerous occasions.
Client,
what is the
alert.
Question?
Client alert. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Sid, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling about that happiness thing.
Yes.
It's a scene. There's a scene in the movie that ties into it, so that's why they spelled it.
You
funny.
Can give it away if you want. We're not going to see it.
Oh, I didn't robot. See the movie.
The robot did it. You've heard it.
I read in an article where they explained why it was titled that way.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Chinese waiter one. Would it be? All Chinese waiters are the Asians who weren't smart enough to get jobs in the technology field.
Oh, that's not called for.
I can't figure out what it is either. I mean, the other ones were easy. That's a tough one.
Such ugliness that we've devolved into.
I'm trying to be ugly. I mean, I don't
he
believe that.
He genuinely sounds like he's not trying to be
no,
mean.
No, I'm just... Well, I guess, I mean, look, to be fair... I mean, look, let's just be honest. That could probably be said of a lot of people in a lot of jobs. The guy who's manning the plaid pantry cashier, I suspect it's, you know, it's not like he went, plaid pantry intel, plaid pantry intel. I think I'd like to sell ding-dongs to stoners at 3 a.m. for the rest of my goddamn life.
Maybe they all have 31-inch waist.
All right, and we're done. Thank you. All right, that's a Sid. I don't know if you're 31-inch weight. You know... All right. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
I'm fine. What's up?
Well, I think the stereotype you're looking for, and not that this is my stereotype because that would be wrong.
No, of course
but
not.
That all Chinese waiters are the buck-tooth Charlie Chan type thing. Oh, you got fly on your suit? So I think that's kind of what they were looking for.
Was Charlie Chan once a waiter?
I think Charlie Chan is Japanese. Or no, is he? What, is
no,
Charlie,
he's Chinese.
He's Chinese.
Is that true? No, okay. Yes. Such an ugly American. Sorry. But see, that doesn't work because how would you even fit that into the space? There's not even enough room on the page to write that. Hold on. Let me look at the page. No, see, because they're really only giving you space enough for one word, and that was at least 9 words. What was that? Say it again, see if it'll fit in the space.
Buck-toothed Charlie Chan types.
And then you had an example.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, you got fry in your soup?
No, it doesn't fit. It's too many letters. This is like the New York Times crossword puzzle. It's no, that is too lengthy of a response. I think they're looking for a 1 or 2 word answer. I don't think buck-toothed is one of the responses they're looking for, though.
Well, see Jerry Lewis.
All waiters in Chinese restaurants are Jerry Lewis. Lady! All right. All waiters in Chinese restaurants want to give you mahogany and flavin. All right. And with the flavin and the thank you very much. All right. And the bifurcated invertebrator. Okay. Is Dan on the Rick Emerson radio program? I'd like to thank CBS, by the way, for giving us hours and hours
that is true.
Of comic material with this. Dan, hello.
Yes.
Dan.
Hello.
Yes. Dan.
Am I on?
Well, let's see. Yes.
Sort of? Yeah. Hey, Rick Emerson, I got to say, I've got a sort of a Tom Likas syndrome with you. I alternately can't stand you and adore your show. But hey, I got to tell you...
What is there not to love about me?
What's not to love?
Let me rephrase.
Let's not get into it. How much time do I have?
Let me rephrase. What is there not to love about this program as a whole?
Man, well, it's sort of a two-part story. One is that the only reason I actually have your number programmed into my phone is that during the whole James Kim debacle/tragedy,
yes,
there were a few potentially off-color comments that a coworker of mine found particularly distasteful, and he said, "I swear to God, I'm going to call that guy if he makes another comment about it that that has any humor linked to it." And so,
I don't think we were poking. I don't think we had
the sob story.
The sob because he was driving a sob. Yeah, that was before he was, to be fair, that was before he was dead. And sob story is a great pun, and I stand by it.
It is funny. Well, see, that's why your number is still in my phone.
It brought us all.
I have to give you credit for your cunning linguistics.
Yes. Now it brought us, gave us gears of sorrow. All right. Yes.
Anyway, so what I'm calling about is because I am not one of those guys that generally makes it to the Cineplex to see films, but I did take my 13-year-old.
Are you busy hanging out at the malt shop?
Well, that's funny. I just
Cineplex.
What do you mean? What are you asking?
Nothing. Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
No, I'm actually anxiously waiting to go back to my dusty, dirty blue collar job and sucking up valuable tax dollars in calling you back. But hey, I got to get to it quickly.
You're
if I may.
Sucking up valuable tax dollars?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we thought he said.
Not literally.
It's a figurative sucking.
Yes.
What are we talking about here? We're like 8 hours into this phone call.
I'm trying to get to it. You keep interrupting me.
Okay, look, there's no need to be uppity.
Okay.
Rick Emerson is sitting right
here. Here we go. The Pursuit of Happiness. I attended a screening with my incredible 13-year-old son. We had a great time. I highly recommend it, and I have recommended it to almost everyone. And unlike the last caller, I can actually tell you why. There's a why. In happiness.
There's
would
a lot
like
of.
To know, or was that a rhetorical question?
There's a lot of anger.
No,
in this
we want to know.
There's a lot of anger here underneath the surface.
Am I the only one
sensing a lot of bitterness in Dan's call?
I think it's you and guys named Dan. I don't think they like you.
All right.
It's one of those grade school crushes, you know, where you chase the person you appreciate most around the schoolyard and throw rocks at them.
Are we still talking about the Will Smith movie?
No, we're not.
Oh, I see.
Can we get to that quickly?
Sarah, I think Dan's going to pass you a note in study hall later, and I'm supposed to check one of the boxes, Stuart.
All right, yeah, so where does the happiness thing come from?
Okay, and actually, it actually ties in with your Chinese waiter thing.
No, it doesn't.
It could?
I can feel myself getting closer to death as this call...
on and on.
Let's jump now to the bottom of the page.
Yes, the bottom of the page is Will Smith... his character takes his child to a Chinese-run daycare. And outside of the daycare, they have a mural that they have painted that says something to the effect of love and happiness. And happiness in that mural is spelled HAPPYNESS. And Will Smith's saying he's a cunning linguist, much like yourself. He constantly reminds his son, he's like, "I don't know why, this is a daycare, this is where I take my child, they cannot even spell happiness, it's spelled with an I." And so that's why, it keeps coming back to that, that's why it is spelled that way in the title of the film.
So are you saying that no Chinese waiters can spell happiness?
I would say 7 out of 10 probably could not. Have you ever tried to read that little red package that your chopsticks come in? It's pretty entertaining. It depends on who's manning the printing press, of course, on those days, but it's pretty bad.
I think Rick's just kind of hurt.
Probably, I'm probably finished. I'd like to quit, actually, before you cut me off.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I quit listening like an hour ago.
Were you sleeping?
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
And we're done. All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733. I feel like someone has just injected me with...
Not that bad. You're just all bent out of shape because he said he didn't like you.
No, but then later on he was like saying... He said he had a grade school crush on me.
He has a love-hate relationship.
That's not what he said. He said he had a grade school crush on me.
He did not say that.
Which is fine. I am a handsome man. I'm okay with that. I'm just saying.
You yell at Scotty all the time to be nice to the listeners. And then look, and then you treat Dan like that.
I was very nice to Dan. What did I say to
him? You were sleeping while he was talking.
I wasn't. Well, I think I speak for a lot of people there. Tim didn't seem...
That was pretty close.
Tim didn't seem particularly engrossed in that conversation. That call right there was making a mountain out of just... Not even a molehill. Like an anthill. That was like a 9-minute phone call that we could have... Oh, and now listen to this. Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, Rick, just so you know, that Dan guy was lying the whole time, because when he first got on the line, he said that he had taken his 15-year-old son to the movies.
Yeah.
Then you guys went back and forth. Then he resumed his story and said he had taken his 13-year-old son to the movie. All
right. So Dan is a shiftless bastard anyway.
Maybe he has two children.
Screw Dan.
He's a bad person.
Dan is the worst person on earth.
And he must be stopped.
He must be. Thank you, sir. There you go. See, that's a call. See, that guy was right to the point. That guy was right. He was clear. He was concise. He was motivated, driven. He had a mission. Are we break? Hello, we're breaking.
Is that to the point?
We're going to come back. We have a story about a man tased to death outside a Waffle House. More from Tim Riley, and we ask you to finish this sentence. Waiters in Chinese restaurants are all blank. It's the Rick Emerson Show.